You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planning a party, they're gonna have. Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, footers. It's TJ Viscardi and team. We're on expedition. We've got a lot going on. We've got so much to talk about, we don't got enough time tonight. But, you know, we're going to do our best. You know, folks, the creature's migrating. The creature's moving from the north to the south. It's getting out of the cold, just like everybody else. Well, if you're smart, you are, at least. We have been from California to Oregon, Oregon to Montana, Montana to Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania to Kentucky, and we're getting ready to move on down to where the creatures are at. We're getting tons and tons of calls from Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arizona. The creature is moving. If you don't see the Bigfoot, the Big Feet, the Sasquatch, then something's wrong. You're probably sitting in front of your TV right now wondering, what's going on? But, you know, that's what we do. We're searching for Bigfoot. That's what we do 24/7. And by the way, if you got a sighting, you want to get in contact with us, dial 606-620-6667. Hey, Marco, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, expedition season just makes my blood boil. It makes me excited. I'm sorry. I had to do that.
You guys have been just doing things. Huh? Good God.
You know, we have had such an experience. The things that have been happening, you know, I contemplate each season, each, you know, fall, spring, summer, winter, our 6 to 8 week expedition, and I wonder what's going to happen. And so far, to this date, I have not been, you know, disappointed. Not at all. We went up to Montana. We met with our Blackfeet Nation representatives. And let me tell you something. There was some great stuff going on there. You know, besides the stories we heard about the creature pulling a guy off the porch and dragging him in the wood lines, we actually came across a photo taken by, I won't say a first name, but the last name is Running Crane, okay, of a creature that was, well, let me back up a little, let me digress. Some of the indigenous folk from the area were on the porch of their house, and they were enjoying, I guess, having a good time, and they saw something off in the distance. Well, the elders sent the young ones into the house to go grab some binoculars for him. When they came back out, he was gone. He was screaming. The creature came up and grabbed him from the porch and pulled him off into the wood line. They gathered their guns. They gathered their people. They went after, you know, to save their own. And they got up to where it was at, and they actually they shot the creature, brought back their elder, who, you know, I guess the story goes, he died a day later in the hospital, but they killed the creature, they buried it. That was the start of our expedition. It was like, wow, are you kidding me? So then they started talking, as we started speaking with, you know, all our local contacts there, Francis Veal, Gwen, other people. They started telling us stories of, there's a cave up in the mountains, up in Badger area, Badger Creek, Badger Lake. I can't remember it all. I remember it very clearly. I'm just not giving everybody the exact details, so you guys ain't going to go there. But the creatures take their dead, and they bury them. They take them into this cave, and they dispose of them there. And it's very remote, very secluded. It takes a little bit to get there. One of the native soldiers said he had been there, but it was such a bad omen that he blanked it out of his mind so that he didn't want to go back because he knew and somebody in his family would die because he had seen it, if not him. Well, supposedly somebody did pass on. I can't remember the details of what happened to him, but it was the very next day. So we had to get up there. We had to go check it out. And you know, we met with our contacts up there, the Running Cranes, and we searched for days, and we heard of this picture that had been taken. And we were like, what's the picture of? One of the other natives had shot a creature out in a pasture near a pole that was, and I still to this day, don't understand, why is there a 6-foot pole sitting out in a pasture? But I saw the picture. And another creature came over and cradled the creature as if like we would, you know, if you were sorrowed or saddened by what had happened. And the natives that I guess shot it felt so compelled that, you know, the other creature came out and pulled it up into its lap that they didn't shoot again and they left. But we saw this picture. That's all I want to say about the picture. We're not going to put it out. We were asked not to. We were brought into the fold and asked that if we were to give you this information, please do not make it public. So we're holding to that, and we're not going to show it. But, folks, let me tell you, I'm speechless at the picture. It's incredible. It's something that if we ever get permission put it out, it's going to change the world. I'm sorry. Let me back up. We have guests, don't we, Marco?
Yes, we do.
I'm sure our first, folks, I have to apologize. I've been so excited. I wanted to tell you this for the last week. You know, we spent 40, 60 hours driving in the last 4 or 5 days. You know, we got Audrey in Kentucky, and Audrey always has something wonderful to talk to us about Bigfoot. Audrey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah? Oh, you're not doing pretty good. You're doing great, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. I've enjoyed listening to your story.
Well, you know, when we get together, I'll tell you to you personally.
That'll work. That'll work.
You know, what's going on down there?
It's never a dull moment up here. It's never a dull moment. Like, it's really getting warm up here. It's going to go up in its 80s for the next week, you know. It's going to be really nice. And it's been pretty nice last week. And I've been noticing since, like, last Thursday that they're active anyway after 10 o'clock. But, like, at 1:20, it's like boom, 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 beating up the house. So I'm like, okay, they're having fun. So I just let it go. And then the next night, all the way up to Tuesday, but Saturday night, they was out there, and I had my baby monitor on, and I was hearing them go, making that weird, you know, sound. TJ, I heard a total different screech, and
what'd you hear?
It was like a high-pitched, I can't even do it. It was
right.
Weird. I can't explain how it is. It was so high-pitched, and it was like, right, something like that. Okay,
yeah.
It's hard, but it was more intense. But I thought, well, what the heck's that? Then I heard rawr, rawr, that monster sound. You know what I mean? It's like a big rawr, rawr. I was like, oh my God, this is just totally different. And I don't know if it was mad at the other one or it sounded like it was giving orders. It sounds so forceful. You know what I'm saying? The sound
right.
Intense and forceful. And it was like, I just got the vibe. It was like it was a captain and there was this little crew underneath of it. You understand what I'm saying? Like it was
he's in charge.
Like, like he was in charge. And like I said, I've been hearing different ones around here, you know, different sounds. Like, you know, the girl screaming when the fire engines go by. They all scream now. When you're out here and the fire engines go, you can hear so, and it ain't coyotes, trust me. So, I mean, it's just really intense. And like the other day, we went in the woods. It was like, what's today? Wednesday is like Tuesday we went in the woods. We got to walk around, and my cousin's in from Florida, so we're out there walking around,
uh-huh.
And my dog will not be in the woods if anyone's around. She runs for some reason. And he had his dog down, too, you know, and he's running around as a young, dumb dog, you know, he's like 6 months old, and he's running all over the place. And Sandy was out there playing with it, and then she just stopped. And he goes, what's wrong with your dog? I said, just watch her, see what she does. She didn't get away from us. She stood. She stopped playing with the pup. She's young, too. She's only about two. TJ, she just stopped playing with this other dog. She acted like she was scared. She was, like, looking over her shoulder back and forth. It was like there's something there. And then I started looking around, and I couldn't see nothing, you know, because it was still daybreak.
Right.
It was maybe hour before dark. And it was intense because she wouldn't get away from me. And the other dog kept trying to beat her up to get her to play. And then she just kind of looked at us and took off. He said, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen a dog do. I said, if they're back here, she'll run. And I guess she felt safe because, you know, my cousin's like 6.5 feet tall, you know. He's 6'5".
Right.
So she felt a little comfortable. But in there, she just jetted. And she was like,
so you've got
I'm
guests at the house.
Right.
And have they heard anything? Have they seen anything?
Well, he doesn't pay no attention. He gets spooked real easy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 6'5". He's like, I ain't going out there. How am I going out there? Uh-uh, they're out there and I'm in here. So I'm like, it's okay.
Well, he's pretty smart then.
Yeah. But this one sound, I've never heard that. I have never heard that high-pitched, weird, offbeat sound.
Was it a scream, or was it something that sounded like it was something that was scared, or was it angry? Tell us about the pitch. I mean, you know, you could probably figure out what it was thinking or what it was trying to portray while it was screaming.
It was like the truth, it was like it was hunting.
Oh.
Like it was hunting. Like them, it was like that and two others. It was like it was hunting. It's like there's different tribes of them. I don't know how to put it. Like there's different kinds of them coming in here. And
yeah.
It's like maybe they're like this is a pass-through or something, you know? Maybe they pass through, like you said, they feel comfortable. Then the other ones come, and maybe they're looking for the other ones. Maybe it's some kind of like a...
maybe they're forcing them off.
I kind of got
maybe they realized that they've got the area where all the good stuff's happening because you take care of them. You feed them, you protect them, and a new tribe has come in, and maybe they're trying to scream, hey, I want this territory. What do you think about that? Could that be possible?
That's the impression I got, like they was going after some kind of other ones in there. And there's been times, you know, that I've heard, like it sounded like they was having a brawl or argument with each other, but it didn't sound like that high-pitched. It was like, you know what I'm saying? That kind of sound. A bunch of them, like they was having a meeting or something, but it could have been a brawl. But you know what gets me is I hear these sets, these squatches out there. I mean, mine is not like, there's like way out in the wilderness. All these people that talk are way off the reservation and way out everywhere. Why? It seems like they would be scared because I'm more in town, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still trying to figure that one out. I mean, I have a lot of, not in the back of me, but in front of me, there's a lot of traffic goes up and down. And it's like it don't even bother them.
You know, Audrey, behind your house, there's nothing for miles and miles and miles. You know, even though there's a road out in front, you know, you've got pretty much a reserve behind you.
Yeah, but it seemed like they would be scared of all this noise because it's cars, you know. But
you know, I've thought about that, Audrey, and I've contemplated. And I thought to myself, if you want to hide, where would you hide? In plain sight?
Sight, that's right. And they could live in peace.
You know,
I'm gonna hide. You're right.
You're gonna see me, but I've got 60 to 100 to 500 to 1,000 acres behind the road. You know, you're never gonna think we're there because we're not coming out to the road and like hitchhiking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But as big as they are, they can throw a rock to the road. I never thought about it like that.
I thought about it. I thought to myself, why? I mean, I know you're right up there to the road, the front, but behind your house, you've got Salt River, you've got all that pasture, all that forest, you know? I mean, so there's something up in front. Who cares? They know not to go out into the road and hitchhike or wave at people because these teachers are intelligent. They realize that they've got to find a spot where they can, hang out. And you feed them. I mean, they love you for that, you know. You take care of them. It's like your family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, at first, you know, I tried to think to myself, how could some creature be that close to a road? But then I started thinking, you know, we get lots of sightings from roads. People driving down the freeway and something runs across the road. You know, the creature's seen standing on the road. It's seen chasing a deer across the road. It's seen squatting on a bridge next to a road. You know, we're their TV. We're their entertainment. You know?
Evidently. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we try to figure it out. My mind says, you know, why wouldn't it be? I mean, if we were out in the woods, and we were them, what would I be doing? Heck, I'd find a campground. I'd sit out in the woods, outside the fire, right in the wood line, and watch what was going on with the people by the fire. You know what I mean? If they're intelligent.
Curiosity.
Which I think they are. Yeah. Curiosity killed the cat. I'm hoping it'll catch the cat.
Catch the cat.
Yeah. You know? So, when did this happen, Audrey? Just like last week, or what's going on?
Well, it started last Thursday. I noticed at the time I looked at the time, it was like 20 after 1, and then like the 2 o'clock, they was like on a banging mission, you know, pushing on my wall, banging. And I was just like, they're just out there having fun. I was just going to ignore it. And then I think it was like, a couple days ago, and that screeching? It was and I thought, what is that? Because, I mean, that was just like the noise and then the behind it, and it was like they was on a mission. And it kind of scared me, you know. And I
Okay, I got to ask you one thing, Audrey. Got to ask you one thing. Because my listeners from last week, or the week before last, are going to go, hey, wait a minute. The voice is coming through the baby monitor.
Right.
I remember him asking, please record it. Did you record it?
No, I don't think there's so much. I got to get me a recorder. They just come over so much. I try it with my phone, but it ain't picking it up right. So I'm going to have to go get me a real decent one. I can hear them. So where I can really hear it clear and right. You can hear it, but you can't hear it.
Well, at least we're letting them know, because I know they're going to say that. I'm going to get emails saying, why didn't you record it? Well, folks, you heard it, because she doesn't have the recorder, and she didn't have the phone that would record over the monitor, which is understandable. Those monitors aren't that high-tech, and they're not that clear. Outstanding. Okay. Well, you know, Audrey, I enjoy having you on the show, because people are learning the other side of Bigfoot through you. Because everybody, you know, I'm sure they read online that, you know, these creatures are violent, these creatures are this, they're that. But you are proof in the pudding that if you take care of the creatures, they're going to be with you, they're going to hang out around you, they've got a place to enjoy their life without any kind of worry about harm. And that's awesome.
Well, I truly believe, because I know you can't talk much longer to me, I truly believe that they're different tribe ones, and I believe that there is some of the tribe ones that might be violent, and maybe they're farther back up in the woods.
I love the word tribe.
I love it.
Folks, they're not a group of Bigfoot. They're a tribe of Bigfoot. And you understand why she's saying that? Because there's some sort of intelligence there. And so there's a tribe or a troop of Bigfoot. Awesome. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But I think there is violent ones. I think there is ones that can be violent. But I think they, like, get far away from humans as they can get.
Well, you know, we destroy things. So, you know, we got to run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know it.
You know, Audrey, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming back on this week and, you know, keeping the ongoing investigation on your property and letting everybody know what's going on, because every week somebody's picking up something that you're saying and they're learning, which means they're going to keep, well, hopefully they will come out of their shell and give us a call, and we can all, as a community, share our Bigfoot experiences together.
That'd be good. Like I say, it never stops here. They stop for a couple of days and then they're back at it again. It's been happening for so long. It's increased, like I said, in the last year. So it's just like constant. You know, I'm like, okay, another banging tonight. Another screaming. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, John, just want to come on and sleep on the couch.
Oh, goodness. Audrey, we've got to move on to our next guest.
Okay.
I hope something happens this week, and I hope I can bring you on next week if something changes. Marco, let's go to our commercial break, pay some bills, and come on the backside with Kevin in Pennsylvania with his family.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods,
convinced him, and I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Well, folks, let me fill you a little bit here. So, after Montana, we got calls from our friends in Pennsylvania, Kevin and Amber and Robin, and let me set the scene for you. They live out in the middle of an Amish community in Pennsylvania, near Lake Erie, let's just say. And, well, folks, you know, it's very rural, very rustic. It's pastures and farms. You know, electricity doesn't come to most places. Running water doesn't come to most places. This is a playground for the creatures. You know, there's no noise. There's no cars traveling down roads. I mean, you got horses and buggies, okay? So they know they're not going to be harmed. They know that the people there aren't going to disturb them. That's the word I want to use, disturb them. So we get to Pennsylvania, and we've been talking about this for about a couple weeks now. And if you recall, last Monday, the creature was on their land. Now, I don't want to ruin it. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what has been happening and why you called us, because, you know, you didn't know about Bigfoot, but all these strange things started happening on your property. Go ahead and let's just start with that. Go ahead.
Everything was a little confusing. We didn't know what to expect. When we had some trouble with some of our horses, we started hearing sounds that we never could figure out what they were. And then a friend of ours that has horses here said, well, let's try to find if there's any predators around. We do have bears and coyotes and different things around here. So we went, and that's when we started finding some weird footprints around. There are a lot of bear footprints, not like human tracks, but they're barefoot instead of with shoes on. But a lot of these footprints were really big. And so we were wondering if there was any possibility of if it's a creature of some sort like the Bigfoot. And we started hearing weird calls that there's no way we could duplicate them. Hearing knocks on trees and things like that. So we thought we'd give you guys a call. And we were very blessed to have you guys to pay us a visit.
Well, you know, it was our honor. You know, we got up there, folks, and I think we got there, I want to say it was Friday night, Saturday morning, I'm thinking, Kevin, is that correct?
Yeah, Saturday morning. About 6 or so.
Yeah, after driving for 42 hours, and we met with the Morgans, and we did our talking, and I said, let's go out and check for prints. Let's go see what kind of evidence you got. And you had saved some of the trash, you had covered them up so they weren't going to be spoiled. And we were walking through the woods, and folks, let me tell you, they were about a week old, I'm guessing the tracks were, but they were still there, which I wasn't expecting them to be there, you know. But Kevin did such a great job in preserving the area so that when we got there, we could actually see what he had. He even cast in one of the prints. And, well, and I'm just going to tell him, one of the prints, Kevin's, was probably a shoe or something. We don't know, but it wasn't big enough. You remember that, correct?
Yes.
But then the other cast, you know, it had the dimensions of the creature. You know, we're looking at 16 inches. We're looking at 7 to 8 inches across the top of the ball of the foot, and, you know, 4 to 5 on the heel. And you can see some of the toes in it. Kevin is learning how to cast prints. Does a great job at it. And as he casts more, he'll get better at it. But I'm looking at these prints. I'm going, my goodness, check this out. There's a spot on their land, folks, where something or somebody took this tree. And I want to say it at least a couple hundred pounds, and laid it over the top of one of their boundary wires. Okay, and it was pointing south. Okay, and I thought to myself, well, let's see if it just fell down. Let's look to see if there's any roots under the leaf litter. It wasn't, and I could not find the root ball. So something had laid this tree over the wob wire and facing south, which we all know they're migrating right now, okay, and pointing off in a direction. Now, you will not believe this. If you were to walk 200 yards south, you're going to find three trees that were probably 4 inches in diameter, 6 foot up, all snapped off and pointing in the same direction. These are markers. These creatures are leaving markers so that people, well, we look at them as nothing, but the other creatures that are moving and migrating through the area know which direction to go, whether they're family, parts of their other family or their members. I don't know. I can only speculate at what they're doing. So, Kevin?
Yes.
I want you to go ahead and talk about what happened on Monday.
I'm not sure what it is you're referring to, but I do remember.
With your wife.
Yes. I had gone out, I was getting later toward night. I've been trying to build a little cabin in our pasture. And then our landlord has young ones that wanted to get interested in Native Americans. And they were Amish and are now Mennonites. And they tried to build their own little teepee in the woods. But I guess they didn't have their father's permission to use the boards they were using. So I started to try to build a teepee for them because their dad took all the boards that they were using. And while I was out there, I told my wife that if I'm not at my cabin, I'd probably be at the area where I was making the teepee for the kids. And I heard our landlord out in the back behind where we have some wild pigs out there. Actually, our landlord has them. So I went out to visit him, and it was getting dark out, so I needed to get back home. And I saw a flashlight in our pasture, and I heard my wife calling me. And I told her I was on my way back to the house. She had a lot of, it sounded like fear or something wasn't right in her voice. And I asked her if she was all right. She said no. When I got up there, she was petrified, shaking all over, and she said she saw, while she was waiting for me, she was shining the flashlight and saw the back of one of these creatures walking away from behind where the pond is into the woods, and she was really scared, and that was kind of exciting. I wish I had the privilege of seeing it, so that was a privilege mm-hmm. for her that she saw something out there. We know that white-tailed deers and stuff that are in this area, if a deer is startled, it'll flag the tail and wave it. And this was not definitely a deer, and it was walking on two legs and not four like a bear would do. So, and while she was out
wow.
there, also she heard two knocks just before she saw it and then after she saw it.
You know, Kevin, every time I hear the story, I think about how lucky your wife was to have the opportunity to actually see the creature, because it puts something to all the stuff that's been happening on your property into
yep.
perspective. You know,
yep.
we've talked and you're like, you know, I wish I would have saw it. He got to see it. Now I know I'm not losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, these folks are the most down-to-earth naturalists you've ever met, okay? They respect the land. They respect the creatures. I mean, when I say a farm, they've got 12 horses, a cow, numerous amounts of goats, chickens. They live off the land. And these creatures, I can only speculate and think about it. Excuse me. But they understand this. They live off the land, and they're there. They're migrating through. I'm a firm believer that they migrate through. They may stop there because, Kevin, we've talked. All of summer, or the last couple of months and a half of summer, you were getting all kinds of wood knocks and yelps and whoops, and things were just going on that confused you as a person in life going, wait a minute, I live here. I know what kind of sound should be in my woods. I know what kind of prints I want to see in my pastures and in my woods. What are these barefoot 15-inch tracks doing here?
Right.
It blows me away how many people in this world are so closed-minded that they don't understand. They're so caught up in life and the technology. And, I'll see a bunch of women walking down the street. And this is, I look at them, and I call them the bright faces, because all there is a phone in their hand, and their faces are lit up because all they do is they're looking at this phone. They don't see what's around them. Nature and life is still here. It goes on. And like going back to Audrey, they're hiding in plain sight. They know now that they're not being paid attention. There's only a select few that have the opportunity to get to see one of these creatures. The creature that your wife saw, she told me it was just walking away.
Yeah.
So I can only say, hey, it was looking at her in the night. It saw her get close. She heard you over to the left, and then she heard the noise on the right. And when she put the light over it, you knew that if it walked away, didn't try to cause her any harm, that it was going to just disappear into the dark. And it did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to see any creatures. But, we as a team have to move on and know that they're migrating. We want to get in front of them. Our goal is to find these creatures. And I'm coming back during the summertime.
Yep, that's important. And you're always welcome. You and everybody is always welcome here. And I do know that once summer comes around and the berries and stuff start coming, we're really hoping that they come back. I am a little nervous. Just a short time after you guys left, our landlord started bringing some equipment in to dig several little ponds in our pasture right in the area where the markers were.
Mm-hmm.
And he's planning on putting more of some wild pigs in that area. And it makes me nervous. Not only do we get less pasture for our horses, but I don't know if it'll confuse the creatures from staying away or not, because it'll be something different. I'm really
I don't think it will. They know they're welcome there. They know that they're not going to be harmed, and that, they can use it as a waypoint moving to the warmer areas of the South. Kevin, I want to thank you and your wife and your daughter for the hospitality you guys showed us. Folks, we travel across the U.S. and we meet with people like Kevin and Amber and Robin, and, they take us into their homes. They give us a cabin out in the woods to stay in, and, and they treat us like family. Family. Exactly. Yeah, well, the cold's fine. When it's cold, we move. But still, Kevin, I want to thank you again. If anything keeps coming up, please, where you can call. You got my number personally 24/7 to let me know what's going on. And if something does happen, we'll have you on the next show. We got to move on to our next guest. He's going to be Paul from Utah. Marco, let's go to commercial break, and we'll come on the backside with Paul. Thank you very much, Kevin.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Well, and you know, folks, I listened to that and it sends chills up my spine because, well, you know, that's when I had my first encounter back there in Paris, Texas. It's just something that changed my life. And if you've had an encounter, you know it's changed yours. And I know I've said it earlier, you know, we've had the opportunity to see these creatures. And to respect and understand that they're there and they're not going anywhere. So you can keep your eyes closed and believe what you want. We all know Bigfoot lives. Folks, we're going to move on up to Utah to our good friend Paul. He's out there, a lot going on. Paul's going to go ahead and, hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hi, Tom. Pretty good.
Hey, how you been, buddy? Everything good?
Actually, right now I just had surgery. So
what
I
happened?
Won't be out for a while. Oh, I had an infection. Had some meat taken off my body, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
But
well, our prayers are with you. You're going to get well.
Yeah. I'm sure I will.
Well, tell us what's been going on. What's happening?
My grandpa was a full-blooded Indian. My great-grandpa was full-blooded Indian. My dad was half Indian, half Hispanic. Okay, I probably had at least 6 sightings of Bigfoot and probably 20 other encounters, type encounters. My latest encounter was I was going up to the mountains. I hung a right, went over the cattle guard. I don't know, it's probably as far as the eye could see. You could see a black dot, what I thought was a moose, because I seen the front and the tail end of it. And it was a long ways. And I told everybody, look at that moose out there. And they just looked the other way, you know. So I kept driving, and I went through this dip in the road. And when I popped out the other side, it was gone. Whatever it was gone. Because it was quite a ways. And so right where I saw it by the Quakies and the sagebrush, I stopped. And then I looked down, and probably 2 car lengths, maybe at the most 2.5. Anyway, I looked down, and I seen a black thing covering up another one. It was pretty black. And it was covered in the other one, and they just stood there. They didn't move or anything. And then my cousin opened the door and slammed it, and the big one got up. and it went probably 20 yards, went over the fence, pushed down with its right hand and took a step over. The small one stayed there. It didn't move or anything. And the big one looked at us like had us hypnotized or something, you know. And when my cousin jumped out of the truck, the mother one, and I'm not saying it's a mother because it didn't have no breast, might have been suckled out or something like that. But anyway, when it went over the fence, it raised its hand, and that's when my cousin opened the door again, and it took off. The baby got up and took off. While the mother was staring at us, the baby was trying to get under the fence. Okay, I mean, there was blood, there was DNA, I could have shot it. Didn't have nothing. The only thing I didn't have was a camera. Okay, so she jumps over, so they're both over the fence, and when he pops out from underneath the fence, she takes off. I mean, a deer wouldn't even run as half fast as her. You know, I mean, this thing is fast. And it ran straight through the sagebrush. It didn't even, you know, go around or sideways to miss any sagebrush. It went right over the top like there was nothing there. And the baby one, for some reason, it held its hands up in the air, kind of like a monkey does. And when it was running through the sagebrush, it was going in and out, popping in and out, and it had its hands up high, and then they were hysterical like monkey get, but they had a different mm-hmm. pitch, a high pitch. I said, say the closest I could see from that was like a baby elephant. And so then it went over the hill, and it went to the edge of the hill. It stopped three times to wait for the baby. The baby's probably 4 or 5 feet tall because the fence had like 5 strands on it. So I'm going to say it was 5 feet tall. The baby came about even with it, maybe a little shorter. I mean,
wow.
This thing was so scary that I had chills go, I mean, just everywhere. The kids were screaming. And I mean, we've had other sightings there before, too, like the
were
whole family.
Were people worried about their safety, Paul? I mean, was it being aggressive? What was happening?
It just stared at us. Like I said, it didn't move. It was like a statue. It just stared right at us, and then the baby got up, and that's when it moved. But when we got to camp, the kids started crying and said they didn't want to stay there that night and whatnot. Nobody wanted to stay there because there was like 4 other people in my truck with me. And they didn't want to stay. The next morning we had to go home and whatnot. But I mean, this thing is probably
the creature forced you guys out.
7.5 feet tall, I'd say, maybe 8. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, we could have shot it, we could have killed it, we could have netted it, we could have done anything. But you know what? We were scared. I'm serious. This thing is real.
People. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because people are going to say, why? You know, folks, when you're scared, you got the fight or flight, you know, instinct that pops in. And most people, and I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact, flight kicks in before fight does, you know. And that's exactly what happened with you, you know.
Yeah, we watched them through the whole encounter, I mean, it was so close you wouldn't believe it, and the way they walked, the way they—I'm
glad your guys are okay. That's all that matters, yeah. You know.
Had big round eyes, big lips. His nose kind of had a split, like a monkey does on the top, kind of curved up.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
It was in the morning, right when the sun was actually about halfway in the sagebrush, so it probably.
Okay.
6:37, maybe, I don't know. And but you could tell
you caught him going home. You caught him going back to their lairs where, you know, you surprised them. And like most animals, when you surprise them, you know, Paul, they're going to act a little different than they would have if you didn't surprise them.
They were eating something there by the trees, though, and I don't know if it was ticks because the sagebrush is full of ticks right now. I mean, but they were... they're eating some off the sagebrush, and then underneath the sagebrush they have these little potato things that grow there, you know. I don't know. It seemed like it was up high all the time, though. But it was eating something because it was there for a while. But wish I would have shot it, I guess.
You know.
No.
Did you? I know I'm asking way after the fact. Which way were the creatures leaving? Were they going south, like they were just, you know, migrating through, or were? Did you have the feeling that you walked into their area and that's their spot and get out of here?
Exactly. They knew where they were going.
Yeah.
I know where they live within probably 4 blocks, 3 blocks. They got caves, they got crevices, cliffs, anywhere, you know. I've seen them in sagebrush.
There. Okay.
They like sagebrush.
What's the temperature down there right now, Paul?
At night it gets like 30-something. In the day right now, it's warmed up to about 70.
Oh,
it,
so it's still warm. Okay.
It's warming up.
No, I ask this. I'm asking this because, you know, we're on expedition, and I'm trying to plot, locate, and figure where and how they're migrating, if it's a full moon, if it's too cold. You know, I want to get in front of the creatures so that, you know, hopefully we can end this and prove to the world that we're not nuts. We all know the creature exists, but we've got to get the rest of the planet to figure it out because, well, frankly, they don't know. They don't get it. But, you know, we all know that the creatures are there. You know, we're out at night. We're out in the times when the creatures are around. You know, they're nocturnal. They travel and feed at night. Most people are in front of their TV sets right now. They're not listening to Bigfoot Live radio show. They're not watching.
We could lay down right there. And we could have slept right there all day, and we wouldn't even known.
See?
I mean,
exactly.
Anywhere. They get behind something black or behind a tree. I've been places where you can feel them. I mean, my uncle used to feed them sheep. And
alive sheep?
Yes, sheep. When he'd call his sheep, he would get one of the things off of bale of hay, them red strings, and he'd take it down the hill and he'd tie it up, and then we'd go back the next morning and it'd be gone and stuff. On one occasion, when we went down, the sheep was there, but there was nothing on it. It was like it was bones. And then we lifted up the skin, and under the skin was like they had put the broken bones where they go. Most of the injuries were like in the side. They had put the broken bones where they go, like a puzzle, and then they'd cover it up with the sheepskin. And I don't know if that was their way of saying thank you or whatnot, but I know some spooky stuff, but it's real.
You know, that just blows my mind away, Paul, because that means the creature not only shows intelligence, but it knows some anatomy of other creatures that it's out in the woods with. Wow.
Right. It has friends. I mean, there's people that do treat Bigfoot good. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to run up to you and say hi or something, but he's there.
I hope not. I'd be scared.
He's there. I went up, I was there one time by myself, and I missed the guys. They were ridged down, so I went up all the way. I put my tent up under, and I had my Dobie with me, and I put my tent up under the tree branches, and something kept tapping the top of the tent. I mean, a raccoon, maybe a bear could reach it or something, you know. And so I turned my Dobie loose because she kept staring and her eyes and her ears were popping up. And I turned her loose, and she went out there going crazy, and then she came right back in the tent. And then I guess it went away. I fell asleep, and it was gone. But, you know, I didn't.
But you weren't worried that it was going to do anything to you?
I had my gun right next to me. What I was going to do was where it was touching at, it looked like a hand, a finger. And where it was touching at, I was going to shoot that. I didn't know, you know, maybe I should have, because maybe I would have got Bigfoot. But it was something. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a, it had to be Bigfoot or a bear. And we don't have that many.
You know, it's not going to be a bear because a bear is going to just cut right through and well, frankly, want to eat you. you know, he's hungry.
Yeah, you know,
Paul, it's always an honor and a joy to listen to everything that's going on. We're going to have to get back out there, and I want to plan an expedition next summer to where we're going to get, well, not the summertime, probably more in the cooler months, because, I mean, you know how hot it was when we got up there and saw you. You know, folks, this area, you're looking at hundreds and thousands of miles of open wilderness, rivers, a plethora of berries and food and food for these creatures. They're there. It's there. You know, the canyon that we walked through, Paul, you know, blew me away. I mean, I've seen the Grand Canyon, and this was more majestic than that. I mean, if you're a creature, this is like a mark or a highway. All I got to do is follow this canyon through the creek, through the river, and I'll be out in that national forest right next to you.
Oh, the cutthroat and brown spawn up that river. They get some big ones up there. Caught one 24 pounds up there, brown trout.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's amazing. It's majestic. It's a playground for these creatures to, well, move, enjoy, and habitate. You know, and then when the weather changes, what do? We move to the warmer areas, just like we would do, folks. You know, we're not going to sit in the snow. Go ahead.
What do you think of this? Okay, so I went and did deer hunting. I was sitting by a big log. And I looked over probably 20, 30 yards away from me. I seen something black. And it looked like it was down on its knees and stuff. And then it stood up. And, you know, I said, there's no black bucks around here. And I put my scope on it. And it was definitely on 2 feet, standing up. It dug under the log. I was trying to get some shelter because we had like a whiteout. You couldn't see or anything. The next morning, when I woke up, we went down there where I saw it, and there was two dead, what are those little white ones with black tails? Minks, not minks, but weasels.
Weasels,
Two dead weasels right by there, probably 30 yards away. And I think, myself, they live in rocks, they live in crevices. I think they can live anywhere they want to live. You know, I do think they migrate. But I don't know. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's the most scary thing that ever to me in my life.
Paul, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. I mean, you had the opportunity, and you joined the club. You know, Bigfoot is real, and we've had the opportunity to know that they exist. They've come to us and said, "We are here." Most people won't see us because they won't open their eyes.
Good, they treat you back good.
Right. They won't open their eyes. Exactly. You know, and these creatures are there for to open our minds to other things that are possibilities on this planet. We have gone from a race of cavemen to the Iron Age, to the technology age, to the computer age, to now where everybody has a phone in their face. They have a computer in their face.
I've seen
they don't even
the
converse
link,
anymore.
And they don't even look like that, none of them. It didn't look like any of the missing links or anything like that.
You know, Paul, I want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your story with us. We're here for you. You have my number. We're running up on the hour. We got 30 seconds left. I have a few things I got to say. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Folks, we're on expedition. We are traveling to Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arizona. We want to hear from you. You will not be ridiculed. Give us a call, 606-620-6667. We have a ton of stuff going on in Arkansas right now. So we're going to hook up with our good buddy, Rocky Slavens, who's down there in Arkansas, and we've got some very special stuff going on. I wanted some time to introduce our new team members to you, but we're going to have to do it next week. Folks, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience We are all on this trip together. Tune in next week. Same time. Same station. BigfootLiveRadio.com. Don't forget, keep footing.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, mysteries.